There's a sense of urgency, is there not? For those of us who are on the narrow path, shouldn't we be concerned about those on the broad path? Because the difference between us and them isn't that we're better people. We're not up on the pedestal flaunting our righteousness. The only difference between us and them is we know the truth. And that truth is meant to be shared. Jesus goes into a warning in verse 15. He says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them." I want to point out, too, in this passage, Jesus isn't talking to a bunch of random folks. He's talking to his followers. He's talking to those who he's been spending time with. And he's giving them this warning. When you're on the path, whatever path you're on, you're going to be thrown all kind of different ideas. You're going to be thrown different trials. You're going to be thrown different things in life that might shake you up. And surprise, surprise, sometimes along the path, we're going to run into people who on the outside seem very nice, seem very loving, seem like they might have our best interest at heart, but at the same time, what they're actually doing is they're feeding you falsehood. And a lot of times when you're on the walk, you don't necessarily see it right away when people are trying to trip you up. You don't necessarily get that that indication from people that what they're trying to do is harm you. But the difference between a false prophet and someone who does follow after Christ is the fruit, what they are leaving behind. And for a false prophet, you can discover by their fruit. And what does that look like exactly? Well, what it looks like is nobody growing in faith from what they're teaching, nobody coming to know Christ by what they're teaching, nobody who's edifying or building up the kingdom from what they're being taught. These people come in many different shapes and forms. I was watching a video of a certain pastor. He will remain unnamed. But his wife, this was a clip of his wife, and they were worshiping. You know, this is a mega church, and they're worshiping, and she comes out and says something that I thought was rather odd and pretty heretical. She said, "When you're worshiping, don't do it for God. Do it for yourself. Do it for yourself. Edify yourself." And then she backtracked and said, "Well, you know, do it for God. Yes, that's important. But really, it's for yourself." Now, if I were to get up here and say that to you this morning, do you think I would come back up here again? No. We do not worship God for ourselves. God is not a genie. You don't rub the lamp and God shows up and gives you what you want. That's not God. God doesn't owe us anything. We owe him everything. This great nation we've been singing about this morning. It's a great nation. It's a wonderful nation. It's a God-given nation. Like I said earlier, only a nation like this that we have can be founded on the principles that God is a good God and he loves everyone equally. All good things come from God. And this is just one of many falsehoods that have been taught throughout our lives. We have so many people who profess to know Christ that they talk him up. Our Mormon friends, They talk about Jesus, and on the surface they talk about how he is the Savior. But then they dive off into these other things, like Joseph Smith is the prophet, the chosen prophet. They talk about how heaven is, you can't just go to heaven simply by believing, but you have to be a good person. You have to elevate yourself and be a good person. Lots of people show up in the name of Jesus. Have you noticed? We say a lot of good things in the name of Jesus. But just because we are throwing Jesus' name in there doesn't make it true. Doesn't make it right. It's only Jesus that we hear about in Scripture. It's only Jesus. It's the Jesus that we see in Scripture. It's the Jesus that we know who died for us and gave himself on the cross so we wouldn't have to experience death in the spiritual sense. Lots of people are trying to get something for nothing. There are a lot of false prophets out there. And when you're on the path, whether it be the broad path or the narrow path, you're going to meet people, you're going to experience people who do not have your best interest at heart and do not care about your growth. They seek to destroy, whether they realize it or not. Verse 21 and 23, or through 23, I should say. You ever read something that just kind of jars you? Maybe it's a story you read, or Sarah was on Facebook the other night, and she said, "Hey, Daniel, there's a little boy that was that's missing. His parents were on a camping trip, and a little two-year-old boy just walked away, and they can't find him." And it's all over Facebook right now. Now, Andrew doesn't do that. He doesn't walk away. He runs away. He figured out how to run. So we're going to be shopping for leashes this afternoon. No, we're not doing that. But I remember reading that, and I was so jarred. And I just couldn't help but think, oh, what would I do in that situation? I'd be losing my mind. It's dark. They're about to call off the search. Well, a couple hours later, they did find the boy, and he was alive, and he was well. He just, you know, he was just walking, looking at his feet, and then I guess he looked up and realized he was gone. But I remember reading that and thinking to myself, wow, that is really scary. That is scary. What I'm about to read is scary. Verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will say to them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Some of your translations say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Either way, there's so many people. And there's several times in this passage that Jesus mentions the word many. Many folks. Many people are on the broad path. Many people will say to me on that day, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name?" The scary thing about this passage is that there are many people who think they know Jesus, who think they are saved, who think they are right with God, who think they've done enough, who think they're going to heaven. And then reality is going to hit them like a ton of bricks when they finally meet Jesus face to face. The issue isn't whether or not you were a good person and whether or not you did all these wonderful things in Jesus' name. The issue is pointed out in verse 23. What will he say to them? "I never knew you. I never knew you." There's that emphasis of relationship. They never had a relationship with him. They wanted all the benefits, but they didn't want to do the work. Nobody minds going out to do a service project. Nobody minds going to church every once in a while. That's easy. It's easy. But just because you do a service project, it doesn't make you a servant. I remember going to the fire department when I was a kid. Did y'all ever go on a field trip to the fire department when y'all were kids? You may have even put on the fireman's hat. I put on the fireman's hat. And my head was big enough when I was in second grade that it fit. They even let you slide down the pole. I didn't. I was scared of heights. They even gave you a little badge and said, "All right, you're a designated firefighter," and they stuck it right there. Did that make you a firefighter? No. I wanted to be one for a few weeks, you know, being in that big fire truck and playing with all those cool toys. But after a while, it was plain to me and my parents and everyone around me that I wasn't a fireman. You go on a mission project. You go on a service project. You go to church. You say you love Jesus. Does that automatically make you a Christian? What makes you a Christian is the idea and the concept of following Christ daily, daily, leaning on His righteousness, leaning on His wisdom and understanding. That is what makes you a Christian. It is the relationship. It should be no wonder. It should be no mystery when the last time it was we prayed. It should be no mystery to think about the last time we opened up our Bibles. It should be no mystery the last time we looked at our kids and said, "Let's talk about Jesus a little bit tonight." No mystery. It should be no mystery whether or not you follow Christ. But a lot of us, our fruit, it's not adding up. When you walk, anybody ever been hunting before? I'm sure. Now, there's two forms of hunting I've noticed. There's hunting, and there's waiting. The folks who sit in the deer stand, they're waiting. And when something comes along, bam. Now, technically, that's hunting. But I'm talking about back in the old days, there was this element of tracking. And you can tell if you were a really good tracker. I'm not a tracker, okay. I'm a waiter. I'm a wait. But a lot of good trackers, they can tell when they're on that path, when they're on that trail, they can tell what they're looking for. They can tell what exactly it is they're following because of the trail, because of the evidence left behind. For us, it's the same way. Jesus was telling we can judge people by their fruit. I think it's ironic that Matthew chapter 7 is the go-to for atheists and the LGBT community, QYXW, whatever letters on there now. This is the go-to passage, and they summed up the entire Bible in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Not even the whole verse, just the first verse. Do not judge, or judge not. That's the whole Bible for a lot of folks. But Jesus goes in a little deeper on that. He's basically saying, don't judge, or you too will be judged. And he's talking about how you can't help people who have issues if you haven't dealt with your own issues. You cannot pull the twig out of your neighbor's eye if you've got a plank in your eye. That's what makes you a bad judge, when you can't even look into yourself and fix your own issues and get right with Christ and you expect everyone else to. That's bad judgment. But once you've gotten past that, you can judge. I'm not talking about, you know, pointing people out and just being mean. You can judge people by their fruit You can look at the lives they live and judge and make a discernment and come alongside them in a loving way and say, hey, brother, hey, sister, I see you're struggling. What can I do to help? That's righteous judgment. And I've always found it ironic that people come to this passage and talk about how we shouldn't judge, but when Jesus is clearly telling us that it's all about the fruit, it's all about what you're leaving behind, it's all about what people notice in your life. So getting back to whether or not you know Christ, what does the fruit say about your life? When is the last time you've pointed anyone to Jesus? When is the last time you yourself have dove into His Word and prayed? What Jesus is saying in this passage is that anybody can profess, Lord, Lord, look at what I've done. Look at all the great things I've done, Lord. Why aren't you letting me in? I'm such a great person. And the emphasis is this: I never knew you. And that's what makes this passage so scary, because so many people think they know Jesus. They think they know Him. And it's all dependent upon their works. It's not dependent upon the relationship. Verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Surefire way to tell what path you're on is, do you lean on Jesus during those times of trouble? Is he your rock? Many of us have gone through tumultuous situations. And one thing we learn about this passage is it doesn't matter which house you live in, whether it be the house built on sand or the house built on the rock. When the same storms come, when the same trials rise, one house is going to stand while the other one's going to fall. Just because you're following Jesus and you're on the straight and narrow and you have a loving relationship with Him, just because all those things are going for you, it does not exclude you from trials. It does not exclude you from troubles in life. I think about our good friend Job. He followed God faithfully. And within a matter of days, his family, his health, his wealth, all of it was taken from him. And he just didn't, and he didn't sit in the corner and wish he was dead. He didn't sit in the corner and sit there and shake his fist angrily at God and blame God for everything wrong in his life. He praised God. His own wife came to him and said, curse God and die. And he said, no, God's still good. That's hard to do. That is hard to do. And it's when your foundation is fixed firmly on that rock. By the way, that rock is the Word of God. It is Jesus. But when your house is fixed on that, and you recognize that this world and all the promises of this world are fleeting, everything you have is temporary, all you can do is praise. simple praise is that this world is not my home. Even this great nation that we celebrate this week, it's nice to know it's not my home, as great as it is, as wonderful as what we have here. It is nothing compared to the glory that awaits when we finally see Jesus face to face. We will be glad we're not Americans anymore when we finally come into place in that heavenly home. That's tough for me to say because I love my country. I'm very fortunate to be born here. I recognize that. And I'm happy. I'm happy that I can do things without feeling like I'm a target, without feeling like Big Brother's watching all the time. And I know what some of you are thinking, it is getting worse. And yes, it is getting worse. But whether it's President Obama or President Trump, my faith isn't in them. My faith is in the Rock, Jesus Christ. And he has the final say. I love that song about Daniel. I love that name, Daniel. Such a strong name. Strong name. Isn't that right, Brother Daniels? Good name. But I love that song because that is a great example of faith in action. It doesn't matter what the world's saying, doesn't matter what trials are coming. God is God. God is good, and he is worthy of praise. He is worthy of thanksgiving in all things. They can shred that Declaration of Independence. I sure hope they don't. But they can shred that document. They can destroy our Constitution. They can strip us of our guns. They can strip us of our religion. They can do all that. If your foundation is the Rock, then nothing else matters. If your foundation is Christ, then you have everything, whether it feels like it or not. Someone whose house is on the sand, they panic, they get angry, they get bitter. They shake their fists at God even. It's funny how they'll spend their whole lives not even paying attention to God, but as soon as troubles rise, they're angry at him. Isn't that ironic? But God is a good God. And he cares enough about us that he wants us to beg the question, what path are we on? This was Jesus talking in this passage, Sermon on the Mount. This was Jesus offering advice, offering warning, offering encouragement to his followers. For those of you who don't know what path you're on, I'll give you a helpful hint. There is no middle ground. It's either one or the other. And you can look at your life, and you can look at your fruit, and you need to ask yourself, does the fruit I'm bearing reflect whether or not I am in a right relationship with God? If you are wondering whether or not you are on the right path, don't miss it today. The best way to get on the path, the right path, is to surrender to Christ and his lordship and follow him. That's the path he's going down. That's the path that our eyes are fixed on. At the end of the path, there is Jesus in all his glory and all his righteousness and all his splendor and all his love. And that is the path we need to be on. Jesus made it very clear that is the path that you need to be on. Get off the broad path. Stop putting your hope in other things, in other gods, in things that are temporal. Place your trust in Christ and his word alone. And that way, you'll be able to test and discern the false prophets that come in our lives. That way, you will have the firm foundation You'll know that if trials come, you'll be set, because Christ is your foundation. And if all things fade away, that is the only thing that remains, and that's the only thing that matters, is Jesus. So as Brother Daniels comes to play, I want us to reflect on our own lives. You may have strayed off the path. That happens. You may have no idea what path you're on. But during this invitation, if you have to do business with God, and if you have strayed off that path, maybe you've been on the broad path. Let's use this time to do business with God. Let's stand.